from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, today's show is going down like four flat tires. Good morning to you.
Ooh, how's that?
Well, it's because of what I got to tell y'all in the story I have to tell you at 947. And I need all of my listeners of the show. This is appointment radio. I'm not saying that the story is necessarily that great, but the topic is definitely one that we need to discuss. Does age matter? And I saw something yesterday, Ursula, in the store, and I was just, my mouth was on the floor. I've never seen it in my entire life.
And I know. So we're anticipating this great story, too, because you were so excited after your trip to the grocery store. You texted us right afterwards.
I text you right away because I've never seen this before.
Okay. So that's coming up at 9:47. Right after Heather's newscast at 9:30, we're going to be talking about how much paternity leave is enough. And this is being asked because a Seattle Mariner is a brand new dad and he got 3 days to enjoy the baby before returning to work. Mm. So how much is enough? Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
What's going on with you?
It's freezing in here.
You got a big old jacket.
We can get a man on the moon, but we cannot deal with our thermostat in this studio.
So. All right.
Yep. Top stories. My teeth chattering.
Top stories of the day brought to you by Waist Scarf 40 Susu in Auburn.
A University of Washington football player has been arrested and charged with raping two women. In the first case, sophomore running back Tybo Rogers is accused of raping a woman he met on the dating app Tinder. She says he raped her after she told him that she didn't want to have sex. The second woman said she met the 18-year-old Rogers at a Halloween party last year, but only got together after matching on Tinder again. And she says he raped her during that meetup. The Seattle Times reports one of the women filed a Title IX complaint against Rogers with the university last November. He did not travel with the team to Las Vegas for the Pac-12 championship game on December 1st, but he did play in both of UW's playoff games in January, which is a concern to UW professor Larry Kessler.
Multiple allegations of rape should be taken very seriously, particularly in this climate, and that makes this extra concerning that the University of Washington then allowed this young man to play.
Now the school says he has been suspended from all team activities until further notice. Obviously, horrible allegations. But what else stands out to you about this story?
That current Alabama head coach, Kalen DeBoer, current offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, and current athletic director for the Nebraska Huskies out there, Cornhuskers, it stands out to me that they have to answer some questions. They have to answer why Tybo Rogers was still able to play, why you decided to let them play. What also stands out is this. In the report, Ursula, it talks about how in fall camp, Tybo Rogers, he drew a suspension that kept him out of the Boise State and the Tulsa games. And during that time, then head coach Kalen DeBoer stressed that he would go on record and say that Rogers at the time hadn't broken the law or any NCAA rules, just a team rule. So he wasn't allowed to play. Now, I did some text messages with some people that I know. Well, first, let me just say this. Ursula, here's what I've learned about being around the sport of football and athletics in my lifetime. I have learned that sometimes the best investigations are football investigations. Sometimes teams and organizations, investigations can be faster and more detailed sometimes than police investigations, meaning they could get to a story and you could find out. And sometimes I've seen where some stories don't get out there. Here's where I'm saying. I'm saying this. I believe that all of the coaches, Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, I think, and Troy, the athletic director, they knew about these stories. They had to have, because in the Pac-12 championship game, he was not allowed to play in that game. And then after the Pac-12, didn't even allow to travel. And after the Pac-12 championship game, he was then allowed to play in the next two games, which was the college playoff. Now, what was interesting and what was going on during that time? Oh, I'll tell you. the starter, Dylan Johnson, was a little banged up and a little hurt during that time. And it was questions about how well he would do.
Should have absolutely no bearing on whether a player is allowed to play or not. First of all, I'm curious, though, because how do other teams handle it? In this case, these are allegations. He has obviously not been convicted. But how do other college teams or even pro teams handle it when you're dealing with such serious allegations?
They've done an awful job in the past. And this is why current teams today, when there's allegations like this, they say, oh, hold up. You have to sit out until you get to the bottom of this. Because of so many times of cover-ups in the past, around the country that we've heard of, this is why that has been. Now, one more thing. I got some intel behind the scenes telling me that this player in particular, he was a red flag then, during that time, during the fall camp. There was, as far as...
There was
as
some as, kind of... team violation know, that had nothing to do with these alleged sexual assaults. And I just want to make sure that it's clear that the first alleged rape happened in October 23 of 2023, and then the second one allegedly happened in February. Well, actually, the second survivor reports. So when was the second one, though? There were two separate ones, and then they reported it at different times. But in any case, the second survivor reported the rape to police in February of 2024.
So
Rogers was able to play in the national championship on January 8th. There was already an allegation.
Another thing, I've also been able to see. There has been whispers in common. When I say whispers, there are different sites, right? You have every team across the country has a site that connects them. So there are fans that go to different sites, like for University of Washington, for Washington State, for Ohio State. You get where I'm going? There's a lot of fans that go to these sites that cover the teams. There was information. There was people talking about this case right here 3 months ago.
Okay. Now, here's my question. Another question.
Yes.
Because, again, these were allegations. Should someone be able to play if it has not yet been proven in court?
Well, there weren't even... I think it's important to be clear that there were no criminal charges filed until recently.
Yes.
So there'd been a Title IX complaint.
Yes.
But he hadn't been arrested. He hadn't been charged when he was allowed to come back to the team. So when do you allow an allegation that has no charges filed to stand?
Right. That is the question. Because so he didn't travel with the team to the Pac-12 championship on December 1st. But he was allowed to return to the team on December 15th. He was allowed to play in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st. He played in the national championship. The second allegation, he was arrested. He was just arrested in April.
So here's a question. You ask me a question. You ask me, should you still be allowed to play? Well, I'll point to this. Why wasn't he able to play in that Pac-12 championship game? Why was he not able to travel? And it seems like, according to when it was reported, the timing almost connects to that being the reasons why Tyboy Rogers was not able to travel and or play in the Pac-12 championship game. Now, whatever the reason was that you weren't able to travel and play in that game, what was it that made you say, okay, enough's enough, you can now play in the college playoff championship games.
Yeah. So whenever you know those answers, well, they're not going to come that easily because the coach at the time, Kalen DeBoer? Where's he?
Current Alabama coach.
Yes, exactly. But the new Washington coach, Jed Fish, says he wanted to make it clear that he has nothing to do with what's going on.
And he doesn't. And unfortunately, he had to field and answer those questions about what was going on. You know, the last thing I'll just say is this, is when Ryan Grubb was asked questions about what was going on, it almost feels like, he's not the head coach. So if I were in charge of the media, I wouldn't have even had Ryan Grubb even comment on anything that revolves that, because you need to go talk to the head person. That's a question for Kalen DeBoer. And this is what happens when you don't handle things the right way from the beginning. It comes back to bite you, because the truth, it never expires.
Yeah, for sure. Well, new troubles for Boeing this morning. A quality engineer is now raising safety questions about the 787 Dreamliner.
The FAA is investigating claims by a Boeing quality engineer that he observed shortcuts during the production of the 787 Dreamliner. He worries they could lead to structural integrity issues years down the line as the jet ages.
I'm doing this not because I want Boeing to fail, but because I want it to succeed and prevent the crashes from happening.
His concerns were spelled out in a letter by his attorney to the FAA in January, following the door panel that blew out of a 737 MAX mid-flight. His lawyer urged the FAA to widen its probe of Boeing to focus on the company's entire production process, not just the 737.
In response, Boeing says, "We are fully confident in the Dreamliner. These claims about the structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate and don't represent the comprehensive work that Boeing has done to ensure the quality and long-term safety of the aircraft." But federal regulators are taking these allegations very seriously. This engineer, Sam Salapour, is going to be testifying at a Senate hearing next week, which is convened by Senator Richard Blumenthal. And he says the focus is going to be on Boeing's, quote, broken safety culture.
I read through this story, Ursula, and I said, okay, how can I have a different take about this topic than we've had in the past? And I know what it was. I like to relate this to real life. And what I mean by that is, when you start to find out things little by little, Ursula, to me, it leads to like this gradual, almost discovery, almost understanding, and you start to deepening your understanding of the situation. What has been going on with Boeing, especially since January 5th of this year? Now, little by little, we all keep getting information, and we're starting to get an understanding. And what is the understanding? There has been a huge Boeing culture problem for a long time. And sometimes people that have been saying it have not been paying attention to. Whistleblowers in the situation where we had one recently was going before, given deposition on this. I think we are starting to understand that this is bigger than we've all thought it could be. And every time we keep getting information, and Ursula, in life, you've had that, where you just keep getting little bit information every single time. And you start getting to the point where you're like, yo, this Boeing thing, it's way worse than we would have thought. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, I want to get into what this quality engineer is alleging, because he says the flaws in the Dreamliners are related to the gaps at the joins of the fuselage sections that Boeing actually first discovered in 2020. So Boeing had actually had to stop deliveries for nearly 2 years while it fixed the problem, and that stoppage cost the company more than $6 billion. But Salapour says Boeing's fix was really not a fix. He claims that it actually hid the problem instead of actually addressing it. And he believes that the end result could be that these small gaps over time could cause a catastrophic failure. And we're talking like on potentially hundreds of planes. So again, federal regulators are obviously, as they should be, taking this very seriously. He claims, or one of his lawyers claimed in a news conference yesterday, that he repeatedly brought up his concerns about the 787 with supervisors and also submitted a formal ethics complaint. He claims he was initially told to shut up. My question is, if Boeing wants to hear from people who are noticing problems, how is the company reacting when those people in the places of where they should be knowledgeable are actually coming forward and saying, here's a problem? And supposedly he was excluded from meetings. He was excluded from taking travel with the team. He was barred from speaking to structural engineers. He was barred from speaking to mathematicians. That's what the attorneys are claiming.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have to. That's why. Boeing did not have to listen to anyone. Boeing did. You, no, I'm just saying, if January 5th doesn't happen, If January 5th doesn't happen, we aren't even talking about this right now. Everything that has taken place from January 5th till now, none of this would have registered enough for us to talk about it. We're only talking about these little things because we had a big moment that Boeing and everybody else
realizes it could have been catastrophic.
Right. And it also connected with another big organization, Alaska Airlines. And Alaska Airlines is like, ho, ho, ho. We want to let you guys know. So you have two big companies in this town basically showing their hands now. And so that's why we're talking about it. And Boeing was never able, they never had to address concerns. Now they have to.
Well, Boeing officially has a policy that says, you know, no retaliation is, but honestly, in which company, have you ever worked for a company where if you spoke up, you felt 100% safe that you'd be wouldn't be retaliated against? I mean, if your boss's bonuses and compensation package depend on production metrics,
And
of course issues are going to get squashed. This is not just a Boeing problem.
No, it's not. Therein lies the problem. The what makes it especially acute, though, is the lives of thousands and thousands of people are in the hands of these folks who we're counting on to make sure that that quality is there and that safety measures are being taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And again, I think I'm hoping that as part of the and again, Boeing is saying we don't retaliate. We welcome input. The problems that are being discussed here were addressed, but I'm glad that that Congress is getting involved. Yeah. I'm glad that they're going to be forcing changes to be made. But the other reality is, and people have brought it up before, what is the relationship with the FAA and Boeing?
That's where I was my next point. If I am in charge, Ursula. And I'm in charge, Ursula, to do an audit on this company. And I come out and I tell everyone, hey, everyone, A-OK, stamp of approval. Everything's great here. Things are fixed. Everything's fine. Then come to find out, oh, actually, things aren't fine. Who are you all mad at? Yeah, sure, be mad at the company. But how about the company, the organization that's supposed to audit and be in charge of these situations and to let Boeing know, hey, this isn't right. Checks and balances. How much are we focusing on what the FAA has done and or not done? What was their job?
I think everything's under focus right now. Yeah. And I think that should be reassuring.
How about this? The FAA's name doesn't come up enough. All right, good stuff. All right, Ursula, where you want to go with this next? There's a lot of stuff we can talk about. I'll leave it up to you.
Well, we can talk about a couple of things, including paternity leave, but I also want to give an update on the Belltown Hellcat. Let's do that one.
Yeah.
Let's do that at 9:30.
Yeah. I'm kind of upset about this story.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that next. Gene Ursula.
Sign up for Mariner's Mail to receive pre-sale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariner's Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, our Wednesday morning edition, and it is shaping up to be a gorgeous day outside. What's that?
I thought you said it was shaping up to be a gorgeous show today.
It's going to be a great show today. And one of the reasons to be great, because we're going to talk about, remember this person?
We can't do that.
Okay, he calls himself the Belltown Hellcat. A Seattle judge told 20-year-old Miles Hudson that he can't drive his Tiger Stripe Dodge Charger Hellcat while he awaits trial for two counts of reckless driving. He was arrested after filming himself driving more than 107 miles an hour on Seattle City streets. And although he's not allowed to drive his souped-up Charger for a year, the release conditions don't actually bar him from driving in general, which is something that you thought was unusual.
It's definitely unusual. If the reason why you don't want him driving or driving that vehicle, is it because of the sound or is it because of the 107 miles per hour that he was seen or that he actually recorded himself doing at 3 a.m. on a Belltown road? I personally am more nervous of his speeding than I am of the sound. So if he's able to do that in that car, then he's able to do it in another car. Speeding is a big topic, is it not, everyone? Have we not been talking about speeding being a factor? My thing is, with his release conditions, Ursula, he shouldn't be allowed to drive any cars. Don't just pick one car because it's got all the tiger stripes and all that.
Well, and I'm wondering maybe because it is this a gross misdemeanor? I believe so. This is actually being filed in Muni Court.
Mm-hmm.
This is not up to felony level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if the belief, I don't know this because it's lacking in the story. I don't know this, but maybe the belief was make it very specific to the problem that they're trying to deal with, which is he's making money. He has 700,000 followers. He makes money from filming videos of him driving that particular car.
Well, I've watched his content, and I've told you before, and I'll say it again. His content on his page, it's really good. It's entertaining. Minus that. So he's going to, this young man, Miles Hudson, is going to make money. He's an entertaining person. If I were to talk to him right now, I would say, stop being dangerous on the roads. That's stupidity. You can get yourself and someone else hurt. Stick with the funny that you're doing from your condo that you have downtown Seattle. It's actually pretty good, Ursula.
I mean, how do you afford, though, a condo at downtown as a 20-year-old? Is it that lucrative to have that many followers?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They pay you, right? Because, I got a question for you. There's commercials that's on TV. There's commercials that's here on radio. So the same way that there's money in those things, where are most people at these days? Where's Ursula at at 10 o'clock at night on TikTok? We are on social media. Yes, influencers deserve to get paid the same way big advertising companies deserve to get paid. All eyes are on them. And when you have 700,000 followers.
Yeah, what is he selling, though? I guess since you've watched, I only watched a couple of the videos. So he just has the number of
His
page views.
His lives are, again, they're entertaining. I would love to tell you guys that it's not, but it is. He sits there and he talks about what he's going to have for breakfast, and he's watching anime, and he's sitting there hanging out, and he's showing the views from his condo.
Part of it, though, I mean, he's getting off on the fact that he actually said, one quote was, "My city actually hates me," he said in one video, and he was panning his camera to the empty streets and nearby buildings. I mean, I think he gets... Part of his whole shtick is that he is thumbing his nose at the law.
Can I ask you this? In our 4 years of doing this show, this is the third time we've talked about this guy.
Yeah.
Why do we keep talking about him?
Because he sounds like a fascinating, it's a fascinating story. It's Belltown Hellcat, even the name of the car. He is someone who honestly irritates the heck out of me just reading about him.
For somebody that's irritating, we've never, I'm going to tell y'all right now, the Gene Ursa Show has never talked about someone speeding in a car three times on the show. He has a nickname,
yes.
Belltown
yes.
Hellcat. So we wonder why.
We're basically feeding into his notoriety.
No.
Yes.
Yes. And we wonder.
I hate myself
for
that.
And we wonder why he's getting paid.
Yeah.
So, you want to know how much he makes, by the way?
Yes.
So if you have over 500,000 followers on Instagram, per sponsored post, and you guys do endorsements, right?
Yes.
He gets $3,000 to $15,000 for one sponsored post. Yeah. That'd be like doing one live read on the radio. And by the way, since we talked about this 10 days ago,
he has
over 713,000 followers. About what? That's 86,000 followers more than when we talked about him. So, I mean, he's getting paid more money now.
He's so irritating. He's so irritating.
Yeah. And I'm not appreciating the fact that we're talking about him so much. So I'm going to move on.
Okay, before we go,
yeah.
Of the three of us,
yes,
you were the one that wanted to talk about it the most.
You kind of have to go with the hits. Okay, here's another thing.
What do you got?
As long as we're talking about downtown Seattle, another store is biting the dust. Did you hear that Lululemon is going to be closing its Pacific Place store?
Mm.
Last day of sales, April 21st.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, Lululemon is a sportswear company. It's the latest to exit downtown. The announcement follows, obviously, some other big name stores like Fox's Seattle, a 112-year-old jewelry store that was located at the Fairmont Olympic Hotel. It's going to be closing this month. The president of that store told the Seattle Times that she was closing Fox's, not only because she wanted to spend more time with her family, but because people aren't shopping downtown as much as they used to. So, as you can imagine, Lululemon leaving is going to hurt, especially Pacific Place Mall, which has been struggling really since COVID.
That's what whoa. Hold on.
Even before COVID.
That's what I wanted to hear you say, Ursula. Let me just raise my hand real quick. And I don't know if I can relate to any of you all. When I first moved here in 1999, Pacific Place?
It place. Yes.
It was... Y'all hear what I'm saying? It was the place to go. Yeah. Pacific Place. Before COVID and all that, I'm like, yo, what happened? What happened
expensive
to this place?
Parking.
What happened? And so now, the last time I was there, by the way, shout out to Pike Place Chowder, who's it? That's probably the only reason.
Din Tai Fung.
To go up in, yeah, true.
My bad. Din Tai Fung.
Yes, okay.
Yum.
Okay. But what's going on? I don't blame Lululemon. Ain't nobody going to Pacific Place anymore. And if you're listening right now, you're probably shaking your head right now saying, yeah, you're right. I haven't been that place. And when I did go there, it felt like, hello,
ghost town.
Hello.
Where are you going now? Are you going to University Place or Pacific Place?
Exactly.
Right, because there's a Lululemon right up there.
Yeah, very good point. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to Pacific Place or University Place?
University Village.
University Village.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's your neck of the woods.
U Village, exactly. And there's parking. Easy parking.
But I'm just saying, before U Village, Pacific Place used to be that spot. And especially to go to the movie theaters. That was my, when I was going to the movies back then, that was my go-to to go there. A lot of dates went on there. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, I got to tell you guys a story. First, before I tell you the story and we need to talk, it's a story that happened to me in the grocery store. But I want to ask you, does age matter when it comes to lines? I'll explain that next. Gene Ursula.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, it looks like a Chamber of Commerce out there.
Chamber of Commerce Day, yes. It's the perfect day to advertise the beautiful region because it is picture perfect outside.
Yes, it looks good. All right, we need to talk. So I'm in the grocery store yesterday, and I've been getting my meals and stuff kind of pre-made because it's just been easier for me for what I'm doing. So anyways, I'm in a grocery store. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was beautiful outside. So I'm just trying to paint the picture. I was, hello, everyone. It was so nice. You know, people in the grocery stores at 1 o'clock are different than people in grocery stores at like 5, 6 o'clock. Mm. And what I mean by that is, yes. is half of them are working from home anyways. Mm. But anyway, so so I'm in a grocery store. Now, and so now it's time for me. So there's two lanes that are open, and there's also some self-checkout. Mm. You guys know how I am about self-checkout. I like to go to the lines. Well, there was, as soon as I go up, there was one person standing in one line already, and it was another and another. So I went to the one that was just closest to me. So I went to go stand there. And I'm in line. And the other lane now is done, okay? And nobody's in that line. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I just stand there and I see a guy coming up. And I'm thinking, he's lucky. I was thinking he gets to go right up there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go in that line and he comes and stand behind me. And then I'm still standing there. I'm still waiting for this person in front of me. Has still not gone. But I thought that was weird. And then I see a lady that comes. Now, mind you, the lady that's ready, she's ready to check out anyone. She's open. Nobody's there. A lady comes, walks past her, and comes and stands behind the guy. So now there's three of us in this line, and there's no one, nobody in that other line.
And it didn't have one of those signs that says lane closed?
No. Okay. It's standing there open.
Okay.
So finally, I'm going through. I'm looking. So now I'm paying attention. I'm really focusing. And I'm watching this. And I want to make sure that this isn't to where she, even though it has doesn't have a sign there, she's not really close. So I wanted to make sure. Yeah. So mine was fast. I go through. And I go through and I stand there as I pretend like I'm on my phone. But I want to see it here. One more person did it. And I thought, what is going on? So at the end, I got in the car and I text you guys. And I said, does age matter? Now, the person, the line that I was in, it was a younger gal. And in the other line, it was an older lady, probably, you know, mid-60s or something like that.
Oh, my, ouch.
Mm.
I'm just saying ouch because you said older lady, mid-60s. Okay.
How should I have said that?
Considering I'm 58,
more
I would
experienced.
Just say,
should I say more experienced?
More mature.
Yeah. Been on this
she
earth.
Ain't older.
Okay, how about that? Okay. Been on this earth longer.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
So anyways, it was the first time in my life. Now, was it a coincidence? Maybe. It could be all of the things, and you guys can say that I'm putting too much into it. No, I'm not. I know what I saw, and it was so much so that I had to text you guys in real time and tell you,
yeah.
I need to talk about this.
But see, now my brain would go right to, I'm going to turn around and ask the person behind me or the any number of the people behind me.
Like, why did you just...
Yeah, yeah. But was there a reason you picked this line instead of this one?
They went past the line. So I was in, to be exact, I was in lane number 6. That was lane number 5.
Yeah.
And
okay, so I guess the question is...
Yes.
The question is, do you make decisions like that based on whether it's... Because I make decisions like that when I look at the TSA line.
Do you?
I make assumptions as to which line I'm going to go. If there's a family ahead of me with babies and strollers and all that, I'm not picking that line.
Strollers and wheelchairs.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I try to make a quick assessment. Sadly, I'm only 50-50 or when you're doing the toll lines and you have to pay a toll or a fee or whatever, and you're trying to decide which one you're going to go through, you try to make the best decision as to how you're going to get through the fastest.
Right.
I
was sad.
I've never based it on age. I'm just wondering if she is a cashier that they know and don't particularly like. There's a Rite Aid that I'd always tell you that I go to, and there is a one grumpy cashier that if I can avoid her, I will, because I don't want to get in a bad mood.
Can I add more context to this?
Uh-huh. Mm.
All right. I wanted to get the story out there so you guys can get the whole point of it without clouding your judgment, okay? In lane 6, the lane that I was in, she might have been probably around early 30s.
Yeah.
Attractive, good-looking gal. In lane 6. And in lane 5... And so the reason why it stood out to me so much is that this is one small story. I wonder how prevalent stories like this happen. Restaurant industry, who you want your server to be, your favorite bartender, all of those things. So I really was in my head about this. Like, this story really bothered me because never in my life have I ever seen it in real time. Yeah. I saw it, everyone.
Yeah.
It's a real-time social experiment.
I can't unsee what I saw.
Yeah. Two people back-to-back said, people are sheep. They follow, and they're always on their phones and not paying attention. They might not even have realized that the other lane was open.
Oh, I look at who's in the line, right? Not only for what kind of groceries they have, but whether they look like they might have a checkbook. I do this at stoplights. There's two cars. You decide which lane you want to follow.
Yeah.
You see someone in like a Chrysler with white hair, and you see a Corvette in the left lane, you get behind the Corvette.
Kevin in Seattle says, at my grocery store, I have a favorite checker. I will always wait.
Oh. Okay. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe this.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, the young, attractive woman was their favorite checker.
Yeah. If you don't think that people...
Yeah.
maybe even subconsciously make those kinds of decisions.
Okay, that's my question.
Yeah.
Do we subconsciously do that? And that's the part that kind of...
Clearly, I'll say yeah in some cases.
That's kind of how we broke my heart.
Yeah.
Do some of these restaurants out here attract people? You know, because I'm telling you right now...
Have you seen Joey's lately?
I wasn't going to bring that up, but... I want to go to the restaurant where they say, can I get you something else, hon? That's the restaurant I want to go to. All right. We're going to tell you what's new at 10. And you know what it is? There's a state in the United States that wasn't even around, but yet they want to go back to a ban from 1864. Do that next, Jen Ursula.